Silicon Valley and many of its tech titans have faced heavy criticism recently. There have been concerns related to so-called fake news and alleged monopolistic practices. And a new book calls out Silicon Valley for not being diverse enough, especially when it comes to a lack of female leaders at the top of the corporate ladder. The book is called Brotopia, Breaking Up the Boys Club of Silicon Valley, and its author, Emily Chang, is with me. Emily, one of the first words that came to mind for me with your book is hypocrisy. So what about for you?
I would use the word hypocrisy as well. We are talking about people who are changing the world and building self-driving cars and connecting the world and, you know, trying to take us to Mars. And at the same time, many of them look at this problem, the fact that women are so underrepresented, and say, I don't know what to do about that, or it was always this way. So it's hard to imagine it being any other way, you know. But in fact, you know, what I talk about in the book is that women were actually well represented among computer programmers in the early days, and they basically got pushed out of the industry for various reasons. And it's simply not acceptable for an industry that is changing our lives in so many ways all the time, controlling what we see and read and building the video games that our children are playing and the social media that they use. The decisions made at these companies can't be made by, you know, 90% men.
What is holding up the progress then? What has taken so long? Because for a book like Brotopia to come out now, it almost feels like it's incredible that it would have to have this sort of impact now as opposed to 20 years ago, for example.
A lot of the problem is the stereotype of the antisocial, mostly white male nerd that comes to mind when many of us think of computer programmers. And that stereotype was actually developed in the 60s and 70s when the industry was exploding and looking for people who made good programmers. And they started doing these personality tests where the industry decided that good programmers, quote, don't like people. Well, if you look for people who don't like people, the research tells us you'll hire far more men than women. And there's no evidence to support this idea that people who don't like people are better at this job. But unfortunately, it led to a stereotype that has perpetuated over decades. And, you know, when investors are looking for companies to fund, they're looking for entrepreneurs who look like Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. And unfortunately, that shuts out a lot of people, and especially half the population.
And Emily, has some of this manifested itself online and social media platforms? When we get concerned about things that are being said on Twitter or some other site, and sometimes very sexist and sometimes really offensive things, is there a feeling at all that when there's an attitude of those who are creating the sites and the people they're hiring, that maybe they have had certain feelings toward women, and that so it's not, they're not quite as worried about it when it shows up in social media?
Absolutely. Online harassment and trolling may be the biggest problem on the internet today. And I interviewed Twitter co-founder Evan Williams, and I asked him, look, if there had been more women on the early team, do you think this would be such a problem? Because women are the victims of the most extreme forms of harassment online, and often they'll be attacked simply because they're women than for any other reason. And he said to me, yes, I think if there had been more women on the early team, this wouldn't be such a problem. We weren't thinking about it when we were building the product. We were thinking about all the wonderful and amazing things that could be done with Twitter, not how it could be used to send death threats. And so I think that's a perfect example of what could be different if women had been given a more equal seat at the table, and goes to prove that this is being manifested in the way that these products are designed. And this is an industry that is controlling what we see and what we read and, you know, how we communicate. And it has an incredible power over our lives today. And we often don't think about who's making these products. But the reality is the people making these products, the vast majority of them are men.
Emily, could we define what the worst of Brotopia? Is it sexism, which is bad enough, or is it misogyny? Is it even worse than sexism?
I think both. You know, discrimination here is systemic, and it seeps, unfortunately, into every space. I interviewed 12 female engineers, and they're exhausted because they're often the only person, the only woman in the room over and over again, and they feel they have to prove themselves and do this sort of constant emotional labor that men don't have to do. But they love their job, and they love making these products that are changing the world. The industry has just a lot of work to do to keep them here. At the same time, sexual harassment is also a problem. And we've seen bad behavior not only being tolerated for far too long, but normalized. And you may recall a young woman named Susan Fowler, who was an engineer at Uber, who on her first day on the job was propositioned for sex by her manager over the company chat system. She took screenshots of it, she showed human resources, and they said, we're going to let that slide because he's a high performer. I mean, that's the kind of behavior and tolerance of these sort of brilliant jerks, if you will, that cannot be allowed to stand in the most progressive industry in the world.
Recently, Google announced some policy where there's going to be, when it comes to social behavior, that one can ask another, a coworker, out once, but if the person says no, then that's it. I mean, are these baby steps, or is that something that could make a difference?
You know, it's interesting. I've thought a lot about these dating policies. And, you know, a lot of people I talked to said, look, if you try to prevent employees from dating, that's just pointless and unfortunate. There are plenty of people who dated at Google and they're now married. You know, but at the same time, I think there need to be structures in place to monitor that kind of behavior and give employees a place to go if something gets out of control. So, you know, what they do at Google is they have sort of HR representatives on hand that you can talk to about real world situations. If there are any relationships that raise a conflict of interest, all of those are supposed to be reported to higher ups. They have a number of different committees that, you know, monitor and talk about these things, you know, but really a lot of the problem would be stopped by simply having women better represented. The women that I spoke to described getting these unwanted advances 24/7 because, again, they're the only woman in the room. And so it's exhausting to try to, you know, not only fend off those advances, but then preserve those professional relationships because these are people that they still have to work with. So in my view, so many of these problems would be solved if we could just get more women in these roles, and that's really where the focus needs to be.
Emily Chang is host of Bloomberg Technology and also the author of the new book, Brotopia, Breaking Up the Boys Club of Silicon Valley. Emily, thanks for the time today.
Thanks so much for having me.